Tonight we feast on Rabbi Cook. So I'd like to tie in what we're learning in Rav Cook to the Parshat HaShavua. So let's begin. We're studying Parshat Chukas this week in exile. They've already surpassed us in Eretz Yisrael. Last week was Parshat Chukas. And Torah starts Zos Chukas HaTorah. Famous Kasha, everybody asks the question. Zos Chukas HaTorah. Zos Chukas HaTorah means this is the Chok of the Torah, of the whole Torah. And many of the Sfarim point out that it's a little bit strange. Zos Chukas HaTorah would seem to indicate that we're dealing here with a principle which applies to all of the Torah, when what's about to follow is, of course, the mitzvah of the Parah Aduma. All the Mepharshim asked the question, Pasuk should have said Zos Chukas HaParah. It would have been much more appropriate to say Zos Chukas HaParah. Rav Gedalia Shor, I know it's a little bit misleading, it says Rav Avram Yitzchak Cohen Cook, Zechus Yogin Alein Val Kol Yisrael Amen on the top. But that's just because that's what the Shir, that's who is the Shir. This is Rav Gedalia Shor, this is from the Or Gedaliah. And the Or Gedaliah, as he mentions in a number of places throughout the Sefer, he points out, Al Pimasha Kasav Nukvar, we already wrote about this in another place, Levar Masha Omer Benusach HaLashem Yichud, Hatayag Mitzvah Satulimba. See, whenever we do a mitzvah, we make a L'Shem Yichud. And the L'Shem Yichud that we make contains this statement, a declaration of intent. And in the declaration of intent, we say that this mitzvah should be B'chol Dikdukeh, B'chol Kavanoseh, B'chol Prateh, with all the details, and with all of the Kavanos, and with all of the self-actualization that's embedded within this mitzvah, and the Taryag mitzvahs hatzaluyim ba, and the other, the rest of the 613 mitzvahs which are dependent on this mitzvah, meaning this mitzvah together with the other 612, all 613 mitzvahs which are bound together in this mysterious metaphysical bond. Whenever we do any mitzvah, whether it's the mitzvah of tefillin or tzitzis or Talmud Torah or Kriyat Shema, whenever we do any mitzvah, we are binding ourselves not only to that particular mitzvah, but to all 613 mitzvos of the Torah. What does that mean? Why are we saying that when we do a mitzvah? So if Gedalia Shor explains that kavana hi shekol mitzvah b'torah yesh la inyan miyuchad, every mitzvah in the Torah has a specific inyan. Each of the 613 mitzvos has a davar miyuchad, which makes it stand out from all of the other mitzvos. Ikr nekuda shel mitzvah unekuda zu higam b'shar mitzvos. This nekuda, which finds its primary expression in mitzvah 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, through 613 of the 613 mitzvos, that mitzvah, which is the inyan related to a particular teaching in Avodas Hashem, actually presents itself in all of the 613 mitzvos, except that the makor, the headquarters for that idea, is found in that particular mitzvah. Enter, feel free. We just started. Come, we just started. You're free to join. Okay, so that's the ikar nekuda. Tarag mitzvah satulim ba. Every mitzvah has its own unique thing, and through that unique thing, it colors the rest of the Taryag mitzvahs which are attached to it. I'll give you an example. Chazal make the drasha on the pasuk u'shmartim es hamatzvos. Rabosai, Hakadosh Baruch Hu said in His Torah u'shmartim es hamatzvos. You should guard the matzvos. Make sure that you're careful to guard the matzvos. Guard them from what? From becoming chametz. Matzos is the inyan of zrizos, of doing quickly, of making sure that the matzos don't become chametz. And the Gemara makes a drush on these words, u'shmartim es hamatzos. Rav Yishaya Omer, al tekore hamatzos el hamitzos. Kederach she'in machmitzen es hamatzos, kach in machmitzen es hamitzos. The same way that we're not allowed to be machmitz, the matzos, we're taught that we have to do it quickly, with a certain sense of alacrity, with a certain sense of urgency. Therefore, that is not only true of matzos, but that is the main makor for the idea that mitzvahs have to be done urgently, which is why Chazal learned out, ushmartim es ha-matzos, guard the matzos from becoming stale, from letting them take their time. We learned from there that even when I'm about to, I want to put on my tefillin, you're like, no, I'll do it in 10 minutes. I'll do it in 20 minutes. That, says the Gemara, is chametz. You just turn tefillin into chametz. Chametz, we normally think in halacha, in terms of the way Beis Din kind of doles out punishments, we think of, there's the mitzvah of matzah and there's the mitzvah of chametz, and everything else doesn't have a mitzvah of chametz. The mitzvah of eating chametz on Pesach only applies to Pesach, that's it. But where Gedalia Shor is teaching us here something fundamental, that the reasons behind the mitzvos are applicable to all other mitzvos. It's just that that is the headquarters for that particular thing. I'll tell you what the Maharal says about this. The Maharal says a beautiful and scary thing about this. He has a scary teaching about this. The Maharal explains, what does it mean, Ushmartem es ha-matzos al-tikru matzos al-mitzos? So the Maharal says, and the example I always think about this, I think back to those days when I was teaching in high school. So, not that it's not true of people when they get older also sometimes, especially with other things, but I always think about it in the context of tefillin. You know, you walk into the Beis Medrash, it's like early morning in any yeshiva high school, and as eager as, you know, you hear, at least in the news, the girls are to put on the tefillin, the guys are not so eager. The guys are less eager. Metzuva v'osa. And it's not uncommon to walk into the Beis Medrash, and you see a bunch of chevra, you know, and there's this stare down. There's a staring contest between them and their tefillin. And there's this look of disdain on their faces. And the rabbis are like trying to get them to put on a tefillin. This is what I used to do, because I couldn't handle this stuff. Shimi can testify if he wants to. What I used to do is somebody would sit there with their tefillin, like that. I would walk over to the tefillin, I'd pick them up, give it a kiss, and put it back down. That was what I would do. That way, at least if someone's looking at tefillin with disdain, they should see someone else at least loves the tefillin. You know, so maybe that will be my odor a little bit. But there's this stare down. Eventually what happens is, you come to the conclusion that like, the rabbi's just going to keep coming over and kissing my tefillin. Or if you're in a different shir, he's going to keep coming over and saying, no, let me put on your tefillin already. So, I might as well just put it on already. Now, the Maharal says a very scary thing about that. We talk Shalishma Balishma, for sure it's true. And eventually people come around. But the Maharal says that when I put on tefillin in that moment, it's not like I was missing, the hiddur of Zrizos. We don't look at it as if I was missing the hiddur of Zrizos. We look at it as if when I just put on those tefillin, there's a little bit chum. It's a little bit I just did in Aveira when I put on those tefillin. Why? It sounds counterintuitive. Now, mitzad echad, like I just told you before, of course it's a mitzvah when you put on the tefillin. Of course it's a mitzvah when you put on the tefillin. Because all along, we'll explain B'pnimius in a second, all along I wanted to put on the tefillin right away. And there was some, either Shibud Malchus or Seor Shabi'isa, there was either some external force of, you know, the culture I grew up in, or some internal force of the Yitzhar, which is battling me, I don't want to put on the tefillin. But B'etzim, I really wanted to put on the tefillin the whole time, which is going to explain why what the Maharal says is not true, B'pnimius. But bechitzonius ha-pnimius, it is true. When I put on the tefillin, it's a little bit chametz. Ushmartim es ha-matzos, atakram matzos al-mitzos. When I put on those tefillin, let me ask you a question. Why did I put on those tefillin? When I put on the tefillin after the 10-minute staring match, why did I put them on? So, maybe I put them on because my rabbi wants me to put them on. But if I go deeper into the psyche of why I put them on, it's because I finally came to the conclusion that it's worthwhile to put them on because I want to put them on so that I can either escape the annoyance of the rabbi keep coming over or something else. Or let's say I'm already convinced I want to put on tefillin, but Hashem wants me to put them on right now. And I say, I'll do it in 10 minutes. I'm in the middle of, I don't know, I have to do something else first. I have to take care of something first. So when I put on those tefillin 10 minutes later, am I putting them on because Hashem wants me to put them on? On a certain level, the Maharal says, no, I'm not. You know why? You know how I can prove that that's true? Because Hashem wanted me to do it 10 minutes ago. What changed from 10 minutes ago to now? The only thing that changed from 10 minutes ago to now is that now I decided I want to put them on. 10 minutes ago Hashem wanted me to put them on. 9 minutes ago Hashem wanted me to put them on. 8 minutes ago Hashem wanted me to put them on. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Finally I came to the conclusion, I want to put them on. I put them on. That's a little bit chametz stick. It's a little bit chametz. It's a seor shebe isa. It's a little bit I'm worshipping myself. That's the mashal. The nimshal, now here for chukas. Zos chukas haTorah. Para, Parshas Para, this narrative of the Para Duma is the headquarters for the chok, for the notion of the chok. For the idea of we do mitzvahs because it's gezeir milfanai. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so, and that's it. We'll never understand the reason for Para Duma. We can't possibly fathom the reasons behind the Para Duma. Shlomo Melech, the wisest of all men, tried to understand Para Duma, and he couldn't ascend or descend to the depths or the heights of this mitzvah. Zos chukas haTorah means that this is the place where all other mitzvahs draw their chok status from. And he goes so far as to say, as many other writers have written before, that every mitzvah has an aspect of chok. Rav Soloveitchik famously penned an essay based on a talk that he gave where he said that even the mitzvahs of don't steal and don't kill, which we would think are the most fundamental to the human moral code, independent of the Torah giving to us. We're not allowed to kill, we're not allowed to steal. So Rav Soloveitchik said, oh yeah, those are mishpatim, we're so positive about those. The human mind, the human logic is so unfaulty, it's so rock hard that it can't be swayed, that don't kill and don't steal doesn't apply in some circumstances. What happens if I'm starving to death and can I steal? What if, famous philosophical dilemma, Heinz dilemma, right? This was a real case of a man whose wife was sick, he wanted to buy medicine, the pharmacist wanted to overcharge, so he stole it. And then they asked people to discuss who was right, who was wrong, why were they right, and based on the people's answer, they can rank them as being more or less morally sensitive to ethical norms. What about killing? Is killing an absolute normative principle? We do not kill? What about if someone's trying to kill someone else? What if someone already killed someone else? What about abortion? All of a sudden the mind starts to hesitate, Soloveitchik says. So therefore every mitzvah needs to have a chok aspect, which is Hashem says yes, Hashem says no. And that's it. Because the human logic, the logos in Soloveitchik's essay, hesitates at the moment of pulling the trigger. Because sometimes we don't have the luxury of being able to take a few minutes to decide how this is going to. We need the Torah to tell us right away how we're supposed to relate to this idea. Zos chukas haTorah, this is the headquarters of chukim. So, since it's part of chukas, I want to talk a little bit about the concept of tameh haMitzvos. Rav Kook wrote a lot about tameh haMitzvos, and I want to share with you several really, I mean, there's a ton. Really, Rav Kook wrote a ton on tameh haMitzvos, individual mitzvos, and in general the topic of tameh mitzvos. I just want to share with you a few choice pieces which I think really are, they're unique in the sense that I don't think anyone else writes like this. Rav Kook was a, we spoke last week about how Rav Kook was a synthesizer. Rav Kook oftentimes took two ideas, two camps, and he put them together. He took a camp, as well, this is the whole share right now. There was a camp that said, Tameh mitzvos, we should be investigating the Tameh mitzvos, we should be looking into the Tameh mitzvos, trying to understand the lefi kochenu as much as we can. And there's another camp that said, Gzeiros Hashem. Gzeiros Hashem, we find this machlokas already in Chazal. Gzeiros Hashem, don't ask, it's not your business. Hashem told you to jump, you jump. Zeo. And Rav Kook, in his unimitable fashion, made a bridge between these two camps. Tameh mitzvos, no tameh mitzvos. Rav Kook said there's a third way which bridges the two of them together. So, let's begin with the Rambam on page 2. The Rambam, in 3 different places, discusses whether or not we should be looking into tameh mitzvos in the Mishnah Torah. In Tmur Perek Dalet, Halach Yud Gimel, the Rambam writes, even though it's true that all of the mitzvahs of the Torah are gzeros, and we have no business butting our heads into it and trying to think about why. And no, even though the Torah is chukei Torah, the chukei Torah gzeiros him. Kemo shebe'arnu b'sof me'ilah, as we already explained in b'sof me'ilah, and he explains it again in mikvos. Roy lis bonin b'hem v'chol ma shata yachol liten lotam ten lotam. Whatever you can do to explain the mitzvahs of the Torah, do it. Try to explain them. Use your brain, use your creativity to attempt to explain the mitzvahs of the Torah. Hari amru chacham harishon shamelech Shlomo hivin rov hatamim shal kol chukei haTorah. Shlomo Melech understood. I love this hagdara. The way that you have to, Rama was very precise with his words. Shlomo Melech understood rov hatamim shal kol chukei haTorah. Kol chukei haTorah. Shlomo Melech understood all of the mitzvahs in the Torah, most of them. Meaning, all of the mitzvahs he understood, but he didn't understand all of them. There was an element of chok which remained in some of them. And this is very important. You know why this is very important? Because if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, and if you look in Rashi even, let's be more basic, you look in Rashi, you look in Rav Shem Shrafal Hirsch, and you look in the Or Chaim HaKadosh, and people seem to have no problem making sense of the Paraduma. Everyone has their shtick on the Paraduma. Even the whole idea that the Paraduma is there to serve as the chok, that itself is giving a reason for the Paraduma. There's lots of reasons for the Paraduma. What the Rambam is actually doing Mechadish here is an amazing thing. He's saying that Shlomo HaMelech understood some of the reasons for Paraduma. There were certain mitzvahs that Shlomo HaMelech, with his great brilliance of the human mind, was able to descend into and understand all of that particular chok or mishpat. But then there were some that Shlomo HaMelech understood part of it. He couldn't descend all the way into the depths. He couldn't go into the mayim amukim of that particular mitzvah. Skip down to the bottom. V'rov dinei haTorah einan ela eitzos mimerchak. Most of the mitzvahs of the Torah, most of the dinei haTorah are only eitzos. They're advice from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From far away, nirachok, migodol ha'etza, from the one who is the great advisor, Hashem the great advisor, letakin adeus liyasher kol ha'masim, in order to fix our ways of thinking and to straighten out our actions. V'chinu omer halo kasavti l'cha shloshim b'mitzaos v'das. I wrote you etzos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the mitzvahs etzos, and the Zohar HaKadosh, 613 mitzvahs are called 613 itin, 613 etzos, pieces of advice. Lodiacha koshet imre emes leheishiv amrim emes leshlichos lesholchecha. That I'm giving you all of these eitzos, all of these deos, all of these advice, these pieces of emes, these little fragments of truth, in order to straighten out the way you think and the way to straighten out the way that you act. Okay, so this is the Rambam. It's a little bit here, a little bit there. It's gzeros milafanai, but even though it's gzeros, we have to look into them. And the Rambam himself in the Mor Nevuchim, at least in the third chelek, wrote extensively about the Tamei Mitzvos. Extensively about the Tamei Mitzvos. So I want to show you the painful essay that Rav Kook penned. He wrote an essay called Hashkafa al Tamei Mitzvos. And it's a long essay, and it's kedai to read. But I just want to read the first two paragraphs to enter into the world. Everything now from now on is going to be Rav Kook, with one exception of Rabbi Nachman, who Rav Kook, Ich bin a neshama from Rabbi Nachman. So from now on in, we have Rav Kook and Rabbi Nachman, who are soul brothers. Okay, Hashkaf al Tamei HaMitzvos. No, yeah, Rav Kook always had a Lakutei Maran. I'm seeing some people are new to this. Rav Kook frequently, if not always, had a Lakutei Maran on his table. And a lot of his writings seem to parallel things that are written in Rabbi Nachman. And when somebody once asked him, you know, Rabbi, you don't seem to quote Rabbi Nachman very often. And what's with the Lakutei Maran on the table all the time? He said, Ich bin a neshama from Rabbi Nachman. Which either means I am a reincarnation of Rabbi Nachman, or I share a soul root with Rabbi Nachman. Take your pick. Right? So, Rav Kook wrote an essay called Hashkafa al Tamei Mitzvos. This is actually printed. This was printed relatively late. This was printed by Rav Shalom Nosson Ra'anan Kook, who is one of the descendants of Rav Kook, who wrote a memorial volume after Rav Kook passed away. And he found either some notebooks or something. So there's a little section there called Oros HaMitzvos, which is a very cool, there's great stuff there. And one of the things that he prints there for the first time is this maimer of Rav Kook called Hashkof al Tamei Mitzvos. And here Rav Kook bemoaned the fact that Tamei Mitzvos are a unstudied subject of the Torah. People don't study Tamei Mitzvos. People are not actively trying to seek out the Tamei Mitzvos. The Rambam wrote the Tamei Mitzvos a long time ago, and everyone seems to just stick with those. And Rav Kook said that just like there's Chiddush HaTorah in all other areas, there has to be Chiddush HaTorah in Tamei Mitzvos, and he's bemoaning the fact that people didn't pick up where the Rambam left off. Let's read together these really, really beautiful, but somewhat painful words of Rav Kook. Kisha'anu nichnasim l'toch osa ha'chalka harchava l'miktsoa ha'gadol shel drishas Tamei HaMitzvos. When we enter in to that vast, that harchava, that vast domain, ha'gadol, this humongous cavern, shel drishas Tamei HaMitzvos, into the world of the probing and the darshaning of the reasons for the mitzvos, lo nuchal lihipater. It is impossible for us. We can't help it. But to stand mishtomimos, flabbergasted, astonished, al dalos hafriya bechelak hasifrioti hachashav ma'od hazeh. We are beside ourselves at how small, at the prisus, the dalos, the poverty, the meager peros, which have sprung up from this important part of Jewish literature. Shilafi tchuno, that according to its nature and what we're talking about, the subject matter, hayoroi lios deshen v'racha v'har be'yosem mishar mektel shal drishas haTorah. This should have been the ultimate paradise of Chiddush HaTorah. This should have been what we've been striving for all of these years. To bring out the reasons for the Torah, to try to understand Hashem's mind, why we need to do what we need to do. B'dorenu zeh, in this generation, hinenu margish shemahar be'eschesor nachakira b'mechkar zeh. We're starting to feel very strong. We're waking up and smelling the coffee to the fact that we as a Jewish people have been ignoring this section of Torah for way too long. B'dorenu zeh, hinenu margishim harbe. We're feeling this lack of the chakira b'mechkar hazeh, and this scientific study, and this research, in this area, hachashav ma'od. Hadagal davar b'chozik hayadus, the concern which we've had all these years for strengthening Judaism, ha'iyunis v'hamasis, both in its theoretical and its practical components, iyun and masa. That concern, which has been the concern of Gedolei Yisrael since the beginning of time, that's what attracts the talented people in our midst. Trying to strengthen Judaism, trying to get up and to go out to the people and to try to strengthen observance and people's ability to read a Gemara. Ha'omdim b'mamad motzach v'kiyam al-basas ha'yehudis v'nechonim l'hakir v'znashom aleh. These talented people who are spending their time trying to just stem the tide and make sure that Judaism doesn't get flushed away by the flood of modernism, those people are good people. Ha'omdim b'mamad motzach v'kiyam, or standing firmly to guard the towers of Torah al-basas ha'yadus, and they're ready to lay down their lives for it. They're ready to put it all down on the line. L'hakriv is nafshim aleh for Judaism. U'lechor davar pashutu. But Rav Kook says, but I'll tell you something simple. She is sod hatchia, the secret and the foundation of our renewal, of the Jewish people's renewal. V'tigboras achayim, and the strengthening of our life here in the land of Eretz Yisrael as we're returning. V'afilu ha'amadas hakochos v'matzavam ha'hove. And not only that, not only the strengthening and the reawakening, but if we even want to stand a chance at standing up against the raging river, if we want to even hold our ground, forget about advancement, forget about coming back to where we were by the Beis HaMikdash, but if we want to stand, I think Rav Kook penned this in the middle of the 70s. No, that's not possible. It was published in the 70s. Yeah, he couldn't have penned it in the 70s. That's not possible. So when Rav Kook was penning this, Rav Kook was saying, if we want any shot at being able to stay where we are right now, forget about getting back to where we were by the Beis HaMikdash. We just want to be able to remain Jews the way that we are now and not lose everything. So Rav Kook says, Tzarechu lahamshich me'azalas or chayim pnim. We need to draw forth from this illuminating light of life, malachtal al das v'regesh, hagorim l'chaviv l'hamid es amasim hanismachim aleim, I'll tell you what the most necessary thing for our door is, as Rav Kook, is harchavas hadrisha b'tamei ha-mitzvos b'ofen amok hamalei chayim mekori. We need to understand the reasons for the mitzvos. We need to delve deeply into the Torah of the tamei ha-mitzvos, the pnimius of the mitzvos. V'nei ha-rishon asher heiris ha-ofkenu b'drishas tamei ha-mitzvos hu ha-rambam. Who is the first person to really do this? Who is the one who tried to wake us up to seeing the importance of understanding the Tamei HaMitzvos? Was the Rambam, the Sifra Hamora. Avamama od nispala. But how wondrous, how much do we find ourselves in a state of wonder? Imnavi lidei cheshbon, if we do an investigation, we do crunch the numbers and we'll see. Es haroshim sha'asu kol hegionosav b'Tamei HaMitzvos al klolos ha'uma. How much of a mark, how much of an imprint did all of the Rambam's thinking and creativity in the realm of Tamei Mitzvos, how much did it leave a mark on those individuals who were blessed with the talent of being able to investigate religion in such a way, from his generation until this last generation before the Geula? Pachos mikol hegyonu machshava yotu misfarav. Less than any other theme that the Rambam developed in his Svarim, Hevi Tnuva Chelek Hazeh Shel Tamei Mitzvos. Less than any other Chelek that the Rambam, think about the Rambam's Chidushim on Shas in terms of his Chidushi Halacha in the Yad HaChazaka. Think about the number of Svarim that have been written on that. And then contrast that with people furthering the Rambam's agenda of writing about the Tamei Mitzvos, or even commenting what the Rambam wrote. There's a tiny little bit of a commentary every once in a while from the Ramban and Chumash, arguing what the Rambam wrote is wrong. There's a little bit of a back, sometimes a defense, even though the Ritva was the Talmud of the Ramban, he writes sometimes to defend the Rambam. He says, this is what my Rebbe meant, but here's maybe what the Rambam meant, but obviously my Rebbe, you know, my Rebbe's claims are good, but I want to also kind of further this conversation a little bit further. The Ritva wrote a sefer called Sefer HaZikaron, about the Rambam and the Ramban and their arguments. But aside from that, there's really not that much. I remember when I was younger, maybe I got a bar mitzvah present, and I found it again in the Reshit library. When I came home, I found it in my room. I mean, I found the Sefer and didn't know that it was in my room, and then I came home, realized it was in my room, by Rav Avram Chill, called The Mitzvos. Rav Avram Chill, who wrote a book about the Tamei HaMitzvos. He tried to collect from all over the place. But it's one volume. He collected everything that's been written in all of Jewish history about the Tamei HaMitzvos in a single volume. In a single English volume. So Rav Kook says, less than anything else that the Rambam ever did in his life. Less than anything else did the Tamei HaMitzvos get any reaction whatsoever from the Jewish community. And now we're paying the price, says Rav Kook. Lo nodu lanu bo kemat lo avkas harchava ulefi ha'erech af lo ikvos shel chakui. They're standing by themselves. I don't need to explain this to you. You see it with your own eyes. You feel it every time you do a mitzvah. You just feel this lack and understanding of what it is that you're doing. We feel viscerally the lack which needs to be filled. How much we need to fill this empty casket with light. How much does this realm of the Tamei HaMitzvos call out to us to be filling, to be filled? It's begging us to spend more time studying. This is Rav Kook's lament, and then he goes on to explain a little bit further about how that ties in. He talks about the Rambam. The Rambam writes that all of the mitzvos are really an answer to the practices of pagans back then, and he develops this beautiful, it's like a 30-page essay. But this beginning point is where Rav Kook begins his lament. People need to be doing more. We need to be studying the Tamei HaMitzvos more. So now, we're going to come back to this little keta on the bottom where you see that gimel. That's not part of the essay on Hashkafa al Tamei HaMitzvos. That's part of a different sefer. I want to read that for you in a second. But first, flip the page. I've been systematically attempting to go through. I don't usually go through Svarim. I binge on Svarim. And then I crash on that binge, and I go on to the next one, and I come back to it another time. But I've been trying to go through the Sefer Einayah, of Cook's commentary on Maseches Brachos. And I came across a gem the other day. By the other day, I mean like a few months ago, but that's the other day. We're going to start from the middle of the right side, the right column, the paragraph that begins V'yesh. Rav Kook here is commenting on the Gemara in the fifth paragraph of Maseches Brachos, Daf Lamed Gimel, that says, based on the Mishnah, Ha'omer al kan tzipur yagiyu rachamecha, mishaskin oso. If you're standing in shul and the shliach tzibor starts to wax poetic and he decides he wants to really let it go and there's an ace tzar for the Jewish people and he really wants to let Hashem hear his pain. So he says, Ha'omer al kan tzipor yagiyu rachamecha. The one who told us to be merciful about the mother bird, to shoo her away before we take the young. Presumably the end of that sentence would be, the guy plans on saying, you who are merciful on a little bird in a tree, be merciful on Am Yisrael. Ha'omer al kan tzipor yagiyu rachamecha. So the Gemara says, Meshaskin oso. We hush him. We quiet him down. And if he doesn't stop what he's doing, we put someone else in his place. We take him out. And we say, we get a new shliach tzibur in the middle of davening. Right in the middle of davening, he'll pick up wherever. Where does he pick up? He picks up from exactly the place where the other guy left off. And we say, get out of here. We don't talk like that. What's so bad? So Rav Kook says an amazing thing. Take a look together. V'yesh b'za otzad tzir acher. I want to explain this to you with a little bit. The first he goes at it in one way, one direction. He says, I want to explain this to you in a little bit of a different direction. Ki haramba memor nevuchim kishabir ta mitzvah. When the Rambam explains all the reasons for the mitzvahs in Mechel Gimel, because of Shiluach Hakan, this mitzvah Shiluach Hakan, who be'emes mitzad midas harachmim. It really is. It's from the same mitzvah of Oso v'esbeno, same way that we don't kill a mother and its child on the same day, in the animal kingdom even. We also shoo away the mother bird so she shouldn't have to experience the pain of seeing us right from under her take her children away, take the eggs. It's a midas harachmim, says the Rambam. Va'amar shamishnah, the Rambam writes, shamishnah shesoveres mishaskin oso k'sha'omar al kan tzipor yagiyu rachamecha. So the Rambam has to answer. It's a beferish gemara the Rambam is going against. He says, no, this is midas harachmim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Hashem gave us this mitzvah. To express rachmim, that Jewish people should be rachmanim, even on animals. And why does the gemara say, someone who says al kan tzipor yagiyu rachamecha mishaskin oso? Why do we say that? That's from the camp in Chazal, like we find in the Gemara and Kedushin and other places, which seems to say the mitzvos are gzeros milafanai. All the mitzvos are gzeros Hashem. You have no business trying to figure out what they're about. So therefore, the Mishnah in Brachos is going l'shitas, those opinions that say, you have no business trying to investigate the reasons for mitzvos. However, the Rambam paskined not like this Mishnah, but like a different Mishnah in Shas, which seems to indicate, as our minds seem to indicate, that it seems strange to us to think that we're supposed to be doing things like robots without understanding why it is we're doing what we're doing. And not only that, but we find many other countless examples where you see in Chazal that they themselves darshan the mitzvahs, and they themselves try to understand the mitzvahs. Many simonim, many allusions to the fact that Chazal thought that this was the proper way to act, that we're supposed to understand the reasons for the mitzvahs, not to be like robots. And Chazal only wrote this, Meshaskin or so, quiet the person down in order to stem some takala, some mistake, which could happen. Now listen to this. This has to be one of the most brilliant pieces of Rav Kook that I've ever seen. He writes a lot of beautiful things, but this chap is so brilliant, what he does here. Because, Lemaisa, how are you going to resolve this? You have, Rav Kook is a synthesizer. And you have, on the one hand, people are saying, Meshaskin oso. Tell him to stop what he's doing. He's trying to say, Al kansi pura gira chamecha. On the other hand, we have Chazal saying, no, we should investigate the reasons for the mitzvos. This is good. How is Rav Kook going to make peace between these two sides, which seem to be irreconcilable? So listen to what he does. This is quite remarkable. Either she in time of the Kra. The Rambam seems to think, just to finish out this idea, the Rambam seems to think that this is a machlokes between the Tanaim. Do we darsh in time of the Kra? Do we not darsh in time of the Kra? Do we want to understand the reasons for the mitzvahs? Do we not try to understand the reasons for the mitzvahs? And the Rambam paskin that we try to understand the reasons for the mitzvahs. And that's why he did what he did. Amram nachon ma'od lomar sha'afal pish mitzad mishpat ha'seichel roi l'chav istam l'mitzvahs v'zehu shleimus ha'seichel shi shleimus ha'torah. Even though it's true, now here's Rav Kook's brilliant idea. Even though it's true, and maybe the Rambam's right, we should paskin that we should be using our minds, we should be using human ingenuity to try to understand the reasons why does Hashem want us to do what He asks us to do. Amnam shleimus hergish hatmimus alev b'avodas Hashem shagam hu hu chela gadol mishleimus hanoshis. The perfection of humanity, which depends not in small measure on our ability to be to have tmimus belev in our avodas Hashem, to do things because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says do them. Tamim, to be simple with Hashem. And to say, Hashem, you want me to put on tefillin? I'll put on tefillin. Like Rabbi Nachman says, to be a behema. Hashem, you crack the stick and I say, alright, giddy up, I'm on my way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go, and we go. B'tmimus. Shegamu chela gadol mishleimus hanoshis. This is a great part of the perfection of humankind. Roilius yoser kavua b'hashkif al mitzvos rak mitzad ratzon Hashem yizbarach shebehem. That we should be doing the mitzvos only because Hashem said so. V'lo mitzad atam shiimtze behem. You know why it's so important that we just follow Hashem blindly? Because chachma, wisdom, intellectual pursuit, trying to understand the reasons for the mitzvahs, as I myself have seen many times in my life, where I'll have a student, I'll have someone who's under my care, someone I'm trying to give over the fire and the flame of Torah, and they just refuse to do the mitzvah until they understand it. And the problem is, it takes time to understand something. We collect a little bit of a piece here and a little bit of a piece here. It's poor in its place. We learn another thing. All of a sudden, boom, we understand. Wow, tzitzis is quite profound. Tefillin is quite profound. Shabbos kelos are quite profound. Tzedakah is pretty profound. Going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos is pretty profound. These are wild. But if a person doesn't submit himself to the will of Hashem, then you're going to end up waking up at the age of 50, 60 years old, when you finally get it, you're like, oh, I just wasted the past 30 years when I could have been doing these mitzvos, which are to inculcate in me these certain ways of living, yashras of thinking and yashras of living. So therefore, it's important that we invest within ourselves the koach of nasa v'nishma. I do it even before I understand it. Now I'll say it outside, then we'll read it inside. It says Rav Kook, there are two different areas of our lives. We could split our life into two different areas. Everything else is just commentary. But the life of a Jewish person is divided between two areas. Rabbi Nachman wrote about this a lot as well. Torah and Tefillah. So listen to this brilliant chap of Rav Kook. Ha'omer al kan tzipor yagir rachamecha mishaskin oso, Rav Kook says. Why do we tell this guy to be quiet? Why do we hush this guy and dethrone him and put someone else in his place? Because he's in the middle of davening. You're telling me, when you're in the middle of learning Torah, you want to try to investigate deeply to understand the depth of the mitzvos? Of course that's good! When you're involved in the creative, intellectual pursuit of Torah study, for sure, go investigate, ask, question. Try to come up with something new that the Rambam didn't come up with. Exactly what Rav Kook was whining about. Rav Kook was saying, people are not trying to understand Torah. They're not trying to understand this part of Torah, which is the greatest part of Torah. Why does Hashem want us to do what He wants us to do? But that's for the Beis Medrash. The Beis HaKnesses, the Shul, Avodah Shebelev, Avodah Hashem, is all about Tumimus. It's all about standing in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu saying, I don't understand, I don't have to. I'm standing in front of you like a baby standing in front of his father crying. And all I know is I want to do what you want me to do. I'm a child. I don't understand anything. Ha'omer al kan tzipor yagir rachamecha, in the middle of davening, says Rav Kook. No, In the middle of davening, it's not the time to be trying to, even if you're trying to heighten your kavana, you're trying to like arouse Hashem's mercy by saying, Al kan sipor yagiyu rachamecha. No, that is no place in tefillah. There is no place in avodah shebelev. There is no place in tmimus. In the avodah of tmimus, a person just says, Hashem, whatever you want. I don't understand anything. Tefillah is avodah shebelev. I give my heart completely over to Hashem. I don't have to understand anything. And in tefillah, that's when we work on that muscle. We work on that muscle called the heart to say, when Hashem wants me to do something, I do it. So that later, when I'm investigating the Torah, I try to understand. So what, I'm trying to remember. What's the reason again that like, I'm supposed to watch my eyes? What's the reason I'm supposed to watch my mouth? And I'm trying to investigate, and I have svarim, but I still don't get it. Like, what's so bad if I just say a few words about somebody? What's so bad? I don't get it. But because I've already worked on that muscle of the heart to say, Hashem, whatever you want. I don't get it, but in tefillah, I already came to the conclusion that even if I don't get it, whatever you want, is that's fine with me. So Rav Kook so beautifully synthesizes these two mahalchim. On the one hand, we're supposed to just be pashut and tamim and gzeres Hashem milfana. And on the other hand, we're supposed to feel like we're investigators in the jungle trying to figure out some deep hidden secret about the mitzvah satorah. And Rav Kook says, yes, when you're involved in Torah study, that's what you should be doing. But when you're involved in tefillah, that's when you work on the Indian of, I'm just a child and you're my father and I completely put my trust in you. And if you say this is what's best for me, this is what we were talking about. Guys, this is what we're talking about Friday night. That we say to Hashem, I completely put my trust in you. You created this thing called the human being. And because you created me and you wrote the manual, I believe that this is the best way that I can live. And tefillah is the place to work on that. Jojo, you had your hand?
Yeah, I'll pass for that.
Okay. So this is Rav Kook here in the Inaya. Flip back to that Os Gimel. Again, from the Sefer Oros HaMitzvos. Here, Rav Kook echoes the same thing. We'll be done in a few minutes. Tamei HaMitzvos. Mitzad HaHegyon Choshrim LaHechrech Levakish Tamei HaMitzvos. In terms of Hegyon, in terms of our logic, in terms of our Seichel, in terms of our intellectual curiosity, Choshrim LaHechrech Levakish Tamei HaMitzvos. We are almost pressured from the inside out. We have no choice. We are forced to be thinking about it all the time. If you try not to think about it, as a Torah scholar, as a budding Torah scholar, you're going to come back to the question of, why am I doing this? Well, why does Hashem want me to do this? Mitoch the avoda of hegyon, of logic, a person is machriach himself, levakesh tam lemitzvos. Imkein tchila tzarech haseichel lavo. First, he needs the intellectually satisfying reason to come. So that he'll understand this is the reason I need to do this mitzvah. And then afterwards, he'll come to be able to appreciate and to do the mitzvah. However, says Rav Kook, regarding and from the perspective of that, what the neshama actually wants, in its deepest sense. Which is why I told you that the inner teaching, what the Maharal said. Why is it? Why is the Maharal not right from a halachic perspective? Why don't we say, listen, if I didn't put on my tefillin within the first 10 minutes, then I should just not put it on because I don't want to make matters worse and do chametz. I'd rather just miss the mitzvah of tefillin than put the mitzvah of tefillin on now and kind of be like worshiping idolatry, worshiping myself. Why is the Maharal only giving us half the story? Because the inner part of me wanted to put it on because Hashem wanted me to do it the whole time. It's just that I was fighting some external force. So mitzad hisgalus apnimus shiv neshama, shitzafonaba, which is hidden inside of the human being, mimakor chaya, from the source of its life force, yesh drisha shalamasim shiuratsuyim l'Hashem. The inner part of a Jewish person, this is what we were talking about last week, the inner part of a Jewish person wants to do the ratzon Hashem automatically. When it's pre-Gan Eden still. The neshama is still untouched from like it was in Gan Eden when all we wanted to do is the will of God. Therefore, the secret of Nasav and Ishma, the secret that the Malachim understood, the secret which goes back to Gan Eden, that Adam HaRishon lived with, was, I want to do the Ratzon Hashem, independent of understanding it. I'm drawn towards it because I know it's the Ratzon Hashem. Everything else is just an intellectual curiosity which comes after the fact. Rav Kook is not using the language here of Torah and Tefillah, but it's the exact same thing that he's saying. The Hegyon, which is Mevakish Tamei Mitzvos before doing the Mitzvos, is Torah study. We live with both of these. One is not better than the other. We live with that in Torah study. And that's what we're supposed to... When we sit down to learn the Sugya, we have to say, I will not quit until I understand what the reason is for this teaching. But in the end, if we fail, we get up and it's time for Mincha. We daven Mincha anyway, even if we don't understand. Because the panemius of a Jew is begging to do the mitzvahs even without understanding. Rabbi Nachman... What's that? Yeah, sure.
Is it the same idea of coming to recognize that the Machlokes of Kodesh or Yerushalmi, whether or not is had to get to know if there's God or not? It's better to come to it in your own idea, like with your own intellect or through feeling. Is it the same idea as this?
Is that the same thing?
It seems very similar.
Is that the same thing? Without having properly thought about your question because of the time constraints, I want to let everybody get out of here. Without properly having that, I would say that it's related, but it's not the same machlokas. It's related, but it's not the same machlokas. I imagine that there's also kind of a kind of spread. I don't think it's just like those two camps. I think there's like a lot of in between. But what you're describing as like an emotional kind of like independent awareness of Hashem, kind of like Rabbi Nachman's Sichas Haran, Torah Aleph, like. Aniyadati, like I know that Hashem exists, I don't need proofs, sounds more like the tefillah experience,
right,
versus the Torah experience is the Hegyon experience, which is I need to study and to investigate and right. To have a deep, which is, again, we could put that together with the Baal Shem Tov's teaching of Elokeinu and Elokei Avoseinu. Elokeinu, our personal connection with Hashem, Elokeinu, we need to have a personal, unique connection with Hashem, is that's starting from the ground up. That's a more tefillah experience. But Elokei Avoseinu, our relationship that you're the God of our forefathers, is that's an automatic built-in relationship. I don't have to investigate that. I don't have to go try to understand that. And the Baal Shem Tov explained that in davening, we speak to Hashem, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, as a reflection of the duality of our lives. That on the one hand, there's this investigation of, I want you to be my personal God. For you to be my personal God, I need to investigate and I need to learn the Ramchal's Derech Hashem in the beginning. I need to learn what the Rambam wrote about Hashem. I need to learn what the Kuzari wrote about Hashem. I need to learn all of these Svarim. But there's this thing called Elokei Avoseinu, which is this deep-seated feeling that I know, which is a Yerusha from Avram and Tzichin Yaakov, that I know that I could try to run my whole life, but I know that I feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was part of my life. So I just want to end over here with two quick yesodos. One from Rabbi Nachman, which I think parallels everything Rav Kook is saying here. In Torah Tess, it's not the only place Rabbi Nachman talks about this. He talks about in Torah Zion, in Mem Dalid, in a lot of different places. Rabbi Nachman wrote, "Ki ikar achius mekabel me'atfila." The ikar achius, the ikar life force of a Jew, he receives from tefila, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Tefila le'el chayai." Which Rabbi Nachman translates as, Tefillah to God is my life force. That's why a person has to literally give it his all. He has to literally almost expire in prayer. When a person gives out all the kochos, his life force, in tefillah, he receives new kochos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chinas chadashim levakarim. Rabbi Munasecha. Ki amuna hi tefila. Listen to this. Ki amuna hi tefila. Tefila is the experience of amuna. Ki moshakasa v'yi adav amuna targumo prishan betzila. When it says that Moshe Rabbeinu's hands, yadav be'amuna, his hands were amuna, the Targum translates, Rashi quotes that as well, that Moshe Rabbeinu was standing when he was fighting against Amalek, his hands were amuna, means his hands were elevated, spread out in prayer. Prayer and amuna are one Yesod. Parshas Chukas, we're studying Parshas Chukas, the whole Indian of the Chok. The whole Indian of the Chok is tied intimately to the Indian of Emunah. I'm saying this experience of tefillah, of I stand before you Hashem, like a child who understands that he trusts his father even without knowing the reason. Tefillah is Emunah, and Emunah is the Chok. And Rabbi Nachman develops this idea And when a person stands before Hashem in tefillah, what a person is saying is, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm asking you for, it's like a funny thing, right? You ever think about this? Rav Kook writes about this in a Siddur. That when we daven, it used to be when we still had the Beis HaMikdash, we would daven whatever we wanted. We would say whatever came to the mind. But the Rambam writes that by the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, when prophecy started to disappear, and people didn't know how to daven properly anymore, so we had to have some set text. Isn't it a funny thing that, says the Rav Kook, isn't it a funny thing that Chazal are telling us what to daven for? Shouldn't we daven for what we want to daven for? And the answer is, Rav Kook writes, that Chazal are just revealing to us what we actually want. What we actually want. And the whole goal of tefillah is to stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, that's the challenge of tefillah. And a lot of people are struggling with this challenge, myself included on certain things. That we stand there like, I'm going to say these words again. The goal of tefillah is, do I really have emunah? This is what I really want. Can I really stand there and say, this is what I really want? And if not, so then this is the time to be working on that. This is the time to work on the Avodah Shebalev of saying, this is what Hashem wants. This is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants the return of the Sanhedrin. Hashem wants the return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants these things in the world. And if I don't really want them, I need to kind of notice that fracture between what I think I want and what I believe that I really want. Tefillah is emunah. Tefillah is the chok. So, we're studying Oros HaTshuva in the morning, we'll study Oros HaTshuva at night. It's a good way to bookend the day. We started the morning with Oros HaTshuva and the Kola. We'll start the end. We'll stop the day with Oros HaTshuva. So, we're actually studying the fourth chapter the past few days. So, Rav Kook writes in Os Yod. And this is where we're at. This is where we're at, Rabbi Osai. Here's where we are. We're nearing the end of the story. But we have some work to do still. It's Os Yod in Perek Dalet of Oros HaTshuva. Rav Kook writes, HaChutzpah de'ikras de'mashicha. Everyone knows the Gemara at the end of Sota. One of the signs that we're reaching the time of the redemption is that Chutzpah Yaskeh. There's going to be a great increase in Chutzpah. Tremendous increase in Chutzpah. So next time you're thinking about swinging your arm around your Rebbe, maybe think twice. First think, that's really not appropriate. I probably shouldn't do that. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about, like, you know, you're a bamboonier. That's really not appropriate. And then think, well, maybe I should do it anyway because that is a sign that Mashiach's coming. And then don't do it because it's really inappropriate. And interpret it the way that Rav Kook interprets it. Listen to this. What does it mean, Chutzpah Yaskeh? Hador, Kulo Chayv, Kulo Zakai. What is the door demanding? What is our generation demanding? We're part of the same door, friends. Don't let the beard fool you. HaChutzpah, the ikvus of the Mashiach, ba mipnei sha'olam huchshar kvar ad kedei letboa et havana. Ich kol pratim him kushar mimakba. The chutzpah of ikvus of the Mashiach, the chutzpah of our generation. The chutzpah of our generation is that the world has already reached its state. And this we're talking about already quite a few years ago. We're talking about more than 60 years ago. Has already reached the state where it's proper, we should, and we demand. We know, because we know it's coming to us. We know that we deserve this. The world is already fit for the times of Mashiach when this will be absolutely 100% clear. We need to know, and we need to see. Tell me if this is not 100% true. We refuse to be part of a religion where the details of that religion, ich kol ha-pratim, himikushar mimaklal. How does the prat of not ripping toilet paper on Shabbos, how does the prat of not doing borer for my salad on Shabbos, how does that fit into this huge vision of Judaism? The klal of being megala kvod shamayim al kol yoshvei teva. What in the world does the amount of time that I salt my chicken after I shecht it have to do with bringing God consciousness to the entire universe? And every person from our generation refuses, has a certain chutzpah that we demand from our rebbeim, from our teachers, and we push the envelope very strong and we say, if you can't explain to me how this line in the Gemara has to do with, because it seems pretty far away from, you know, what we're learning in like other parts of Torah, that we're trying to get to some universal level of understanding, of awareness of Hashem. What in the world does a Baal Keri saying Kriyat Shema, like, what does that have to do with anything? What do oxen goring each other have to do with anything? And that's the chutzpah of Ikzad Meshicha coming from a holy place. V'ein prat bilti mekusher im agadol akol yochol aniach esadas. If there's a single detail which is not connected to the big picture of Judaism, I can't be sold with such a thing. You know why? Because be'etzem we all know, every single one of us knows, and every single kid in high school and elementary school knows that it is connected. And if you can't show that to me, then you're not even a real rabbi. You don't know anything. If at this point in our history, we can't be able, and that's what Rav Kook is bemoaning in the beginning, that first piece we read. Because we're feeling the pain of this strong now, because we ignored it for so long, because we ignored this very fundamental part of Yiddishkeit. And if the world was teaching Torah in this way, if we were able to give over Torah in this way, to be able to explain how the details of the halacha fit back into the big picture, that would bring about the final tikkun, the final tshuva, which we need in order to usher in the times of Mashiach. Period. That would bring Mashiach, Mofia, it would express it, V'yotzi el ha'pol, and bring it out into actuality. But, and this goes back to the first thing we learned from Rav Kook, literally 2 more minutes. Aval kevan she'esrash l'sgarma, but because we are weak, and because we were lazy in the past, that causes, garma, that causes, gorem, she'or Torah pnimis, that the inner light of Torah, Haton, Romamus, V'kedusha Atzmus, which demands a certain amount of holiness in order to acquire it, and it demands a certain amount of study and a certain amount of loftiness of vision. Lo Fia Ba'olam Kiroi, it's not coming out in the way that it should be. The Shiurim are not up to snuff. It's not coming out the way that it's supposed to come. Ba Hatviya, so then what happens? The door comes with a great claim against the Torah and against its teacher and its teachers. Shall sidur chayim keile. Shall pratim yu muvanim b'muvan haklal. Give us the details in their state of klal, or don't give it to us at all. Bizman kezer, a time like this, shall gomer shall giloy aora v'slila saderech la'avana zu adayin lo ba, that the completion of this revelation of this light has not fully emerged. This is what's causing the terrible destruction, which is wreaking havoc on our people. Why are there so many people who are just dropping out? Like my brother was talking about the other day, it's so easy to just leave everything behind, and people are opting for that. Why is that happening? Because we're not giving them a true version of what Judaism really is. We're giving them this stale, lifeless, freezer-burnt Judaism from the exile. And Rav Kook is saying it's enough of that. Time to take Judaism out of the freezer, put it in the microwave, and defrost it, and quickly. Because people are flying out the windows. So we have only one choice. We need to use the exalted medicine. We only have one choice, and that is we need the exalted medicine. Shehi hofeses koach v'kishron aruchani. So we have one choice and one choice only, which is we need to use the magic medicine. We need to use the magic medicine of Pnimiyas HaTorah in order to wake us up, in order to delve into the reasons for the mitzvos, to reattach ourselves and attach the details of the halacha. You understand now, Rabbi Nachman was so crazy with Rav Nassan to write the Kutei Halachos, to take every single halacha in the Shulchan Aruch and to try to tap it back in and to show how the intricate halachos of announcing, giving a matana in public in order to make a transference of ownership from one person to another, which seemingly has nothing to do with Hashem, it has to do with property laws and real estate laws, and nothing to do with Hashem. And Rabbi Nachman said, Rav Nassan, you have to write a book which shows how every detail of the Shulchan Aruch is infused with godliness, is infused with the big picture of Judaism. This is not only Rav Nosson's job, this is our job. And unfortunately, we're kind of stuck in this catch-22 because it's a way of thinking. It's a way of thinking. But you can't do anything with this way of thinking unless you have the chomer. You need the clay to work with. So what Rav Kook is telling us, Rav Kook is begging us, and when I'm begging myself, b'derech tefillah, what I'm asking of Hashem, b'derech tefillah, is that we should be able to do this, that we should study strong, we should study hard, we should study the Rishonim and the Achronim, the classical Rishonim and the Achronim, and we should study the Sifrei Chassidus, and we should be able to find allusions from one into the other, and we should be able to link the two together and to show how the details of the Halacha are linked back in to the Klal of Judaism. And this year, Mitzvah Hashem, we're studying Brachos, and I hope this year, I don't know what will be recorded, won't be recorded, but I'm hoping this year to go through at least the first Zman in Yeshiva, to go through the first parak of Brachos, to do all of the Gemara, all of the Tosfos, and all of the Enaya on that. Because Rav Kook's the one who else is going to lead the way to show us how we're supposed to take the details of the Gemara. And to, now, I don't know if I'll succeed, it depends on, but I hope to succeed myself, I hope to drag along the Chever with me. But this is what we need in the world right now. This is what Rav Kook is saying, we need to pull the Gemara, the Halacha, out of the details and back into the klal of what Torah is really all about. So Hashem should give us the strength to do this, those chukas haTorah, to live with this emunah of tefillah, the emunah of the chuk, to say, gzeirahi milfanav, this is a gzeirah in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem demands this of us, but at the same time, not to separate the klal from the prop from the klal, to bring the two of them back together. And that merit, we zoch to the tikkun achron, which we're waiting so patiently for, and maybe it's time to stop waiting patiently and to go get it ourselves. We zoch to the gula shem of mitzvah. Amen.